Hey there, Mike.
Hey, I didn't know when you were talking to him.
Well, exactly, right? Because we have Mike Vardy on. So it could have been both.
We should have both answered in unison.
There you go. Mike with a Y and Mike with an I.
Yes, indeed.
So, yeah. Mr. Michael Vardy is with us. And he was on not too long ago, actually.
Telling you about how bare my air was or was not. I did a follow-up post saying what I didn't talk about.
Oh, really? I missed that. Oh, I got to go read that. God, you cheater.
I think everyone cheats.
Of course everyone cheats.
We were talking about on the new podcast I do with Michael Schechter, Mics on Mics. We're going to do the sort of a takeoff on how bare is your air. We're going to call it How Packed Is Your Mac?
Yeah.
Yes.
Me and Patrick have both signed off on this idea, right?
Yes, totally. You must do it. Furthermore, you must have me on.
Yeah, plug that. Plug your show a little bit more. You've just given it a glancing comment. Plug it.
So, Michael Schechter, who's at abettermess.com, and myself, we started a new podcast called Mics on Mics, and the logo is designed by the brilliant Aaron Mankey. As usual, his work is just stellar. And what we basically going to talk about is it's two techies talking. We're going to talk about productivity and how not just to use like the tools and stuff, because Michael's really into the tools, but I'm kind of going into the more of the mindfulness aspect and not so much the how, but the why. And we're also going to apply it to more like parenting and life stuff as opposed to just work. So we're getting together every week. And also we have a drink during each episode. So you'll find out what we're drinking because, you know, you can't be productive without a drink in hand. That's, you know,
that's true.
So says the madman, right? So so yeah, it's at mikesonmikes.com and it's Mikes on MICS.com. If you go to Mikes on Mikes, like the name, you'll get to the site too. We bought that domain just to be safe.
Oh, great.
Oh, yeah. Very smart.
Yeah.
Very smart.
So we're really excited about it. We're having a good time. I mean, I was doing the Productivity podcast for a while and I'm still going to bring that back in another iteration, but it's just a lot easier to talk to somebody about productivity rather, you know, on a regular basis and kind of grow that out than do interviews every single week, as you guys well know.
And it's also easier to do a show with someone as opposed to on your own, which I know that the hardest type of podcast is the one that you do on your own.
Yeah.
Because you're speaking to nobody, and also there's not another person to ensure that you get on the call, right?
Yeah.
This is my main problem when I was doing The Hurley Bird, which is on hiatus because of the book that I'm writing. So, it was more difficult for me to try and schedule the time to do it. I would put it off more because there wasn't Patrick, you know, waiting on Skype for me.
It's important to kind of have that kind of accountability, I think, with another person.
Mm-hmm.
It helps me for sure.
Well, and the great thing is that the network's grown too, right? Like, I mean, Michael Schechter has some people that he talks to that I don't, and vice versa. And you're right, it kind of holds your feet to the fire. Like, your listeners should be the people that you're really kind of beholden to a certain extent. Once you commit to a podcast, it's kind of, you're holding your feet to the fire in that regard. But, I mean, when it comes to, you know, having somebody else that you're there with, and Mike's admittedly new to the whole podcasting realm, it's kind of cool that we're coming at it from the same angle but from different backgrounds. So it's going to make for a really dynamic growth process too. So I'm really excited about it.
Very cool.
I've listened to episode 0 so far and really enjoyed it, and I've got episode 1. Probably by the time this is released, there'll be more episodes, but I've got episode 1 queued up in Instacast as well to listen to. So, doing a good job, my man. Good job.
Thank you. We aspire to one day maybe reach the levels that some of the other 70 Decibels podcasts have reached. Wink,
I like
wink.
It. So, Vardy, you're one of the crazy people at the moment who's decided that the Goog needs to be out of your life, right?
Here's to the crazy ones, yes.
Mm. So tell us about that. What has made you want to quit Google?
Well, the thing is, a lot of people think it's the privacy stuff, and it's not, because you know, Ben Brooks has pointed out pretty eloquently on his site, Brooks Review, that, you know, some of the privacy stuff it's been there forever. Like once you get into that, same with Facebook and stuff, you know, I mean, you're essentially, you're the product. So you're giving them that data anyways, right? But what I'm not liking is this whole, they've gotten into the social network game and they're starting to mess with search engine results. So you no longer can necessarily quote unquote trust what Google is giving you when you do a search. So for example, say somebody else named Mike Vardy started up a website, and all they did was do a lot of Google Plus relinking and stuff like that. So they just basically spent a lot of time in Google Plus, but didn't really make stuff on their own website. Based on what we're kind of seeing, and this is again just from what I'm seeing so far, is that he's going to move up the chain a lot quicker because he's using their social network as opposed to say Twitter or a variety thereof. So it just really bothers me that they're kind of getting out of that whole search engine, like to be the pure search engine that they were, and kind of what I would call gaming the results a bit. That's bugging me.
Can I pose my argument to you?
Sure.
On this, because I mean, there's been a lot of outcry against it's called Search Plus Your World, right?
Mm-hmm. That's
was what Google are calling it. When Google launched this, it seemed to me like the type of search that a lot of geeks have been asking for years, because you know people had always said Kevin Rose has been touting this idea for a long time about the idea of when you search for something, if you search for a dentist, you're just going to get every dentist that's in the world and who's ever got the best SEOs at the top, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if I search for a dentist with Search Plus Your World, I may get a dentist that Bob down the road has been to and recommends really highly, but I would never have got that result. So, I mean, to me, this seems like the type of search that a lot of us have been asking for a while, but it seems like it's upsetting a lot of people now.
Well, think about, I mean, whenever I want to look for a dentist, I look for dentists in Victoria. I don't look for dentists in general. And then I also live in a small city, so it's easier for me to kind of get that stuff happening, you know, in terms of recommendations and stuff. But there are also sites that do that as well. So those sites to me are more valuable than say Google saying, oh, well, this is based on what you've been doing and based on who you engage with. Here's what we're going to limit or at least elevate the search results to. To me, the web is worldwide. Like you should place those limits, and you should do them knowingly, not so much having them imposed upon you based on what you're doing in a social network somewhere else. I mean, we already know we get ads in Gmail, and when we're on Facebook, even, you know, the ads are self-directed and stuff like that. And that's fine because I don't need to directly engage with those. But in this case, when you're using Google with the Search Plus Your World and you're using Google Plus actively, you're essentially adjusting your search in a way that you may not necessarily want to. A lot of people, especially the people who aren't into this as much, won't even realize that they're, oh, wait, I'm affecting my search because of how I'm playing, quote unquote, on these social networks, in Google Plus.
Yeah, I guess I wonder if this would have made a big difference in the geek reaction, because let's just be honest. Regular people don't give a damn about this. They don't care.
No.
This is just, they have no idea about this, right? They're just not paying attention, right?
Facebook
idea about this.
Facebook is the internet.
Facebook is the internet. And for those for whom Facebook is not the internet, Google is the way to get the websites, right?
Yeah.
Like seriously, you don't type in the location field. You open up a new browser window. Google is your homepage, and you type patrickrone.com into the Google search result.
Yep.
And hit return.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. Yep. Most people think Google is a browser. Before Chrome came out, they're like, you know, what's your browser? I use Google. Well, no, that's not a browser.
Yeah, that's not a browser, right. No, complete. So regular people don't give a damn about this. It is only us geeks. So let's establish that fact.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, with that fact established, I wonder if this would have pleased the geeks. I wonder if instead of the search and I'm feeling lucky buttons, there was a third button that was like, I don't know, pure search, right?
Mm-hmm.
Search by default, and this is what the button that gets triggered when you hit the return key is Google's, you know, Google plus your world trademark, void where prohibited, blah, 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 right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you clicked, you know, pure search or something like that, then it didn't base, you know, it tried to provide you with the results that are, you know, that are truer to the way that Google started out, right? Because
mm-hmm.
I don't want Mike's argument to go dismissed, and I'll tell you why. Recently, we had a plumbing problem in our basement. All right.
Problem being an understated word there.
Well, I mean, it started off as a minor problem. And it was on a Sunday, a Sunday morning. And anytime we used any water, flush the toilet, whatever, it backed up into the basement. So my wife hopped on and called some of the regular local plumbers in town, and then they weren't open on Sunday. And so she did what most people do, and that's hopped on Google and searched for plumber in St. Paul, open Sunday, you know, or something like that. And the top result turned out to be this place called Rootertown. Gave them a call. They're open on Sunday. Their price for you know, repairing the problem, you know, your basic router job was fair and right in line with, other times we paid for such a service. And called him out. He was out here within a couple of hours. And to make a long story short, it ended up being a scam. Rootertown is a wholly owned subsidiary of a excavation company that's based out of Colorado that has been caught in Minneapolis and is currently under both criminal investigation and under a class action suit for doing a similar practice there, which is using simple sewer line repairs to find imaginary problems and upsell you to expensive excavations where they find even more problems and then upsell you to even more expensive excavations and basically try to see how far they can take you to fleece as much money out of you as possible.
Yikes.
Yeah. And when you actually do go to the address that is, you know, they advertise themselves as a local plumber, when you actually do go to the address, it turns out to be the address of, say, a P.O. box at a UPS store. So, no, they're not local at all. Oh, and then when you do a little bit further investigation, you find out that the guy who showed up is likely not a plumber at all. And that Rootertown doesn't do any plumbing whatsoever and never has. But, you know, that's a whole nine yards, and I can't say too much more because now we're part of a class action lawsuit against them and da, 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 da. But right. The bottom line is this. If even Google Plus, and you know, I guess the problem I have is that they're elevating Google Plus over other social networks. But I think that aggregating that information from social networks is great. You want to know why? In this particular case, I wonder if we would have been able to find out, say, plumbers that other friends of my wife's on Facebook or Twitter or what have you had raved about, had recommended, had said to avoid or whatnot in the top of those results. And that would have affected those search results such that we wouldn't have gotten caught up in this scam. Because I'll tell you the way that they showed up at the top of those search results, now that I have done some investigation into them, they literally have set up hundreds of dummy link farm sites to link to their plumbing services and game the Google search results.
Right. And you're right, you can't ask, you know, someone who's not really into the web or is fairly, you know, new or just doesn't know about services like Yelp or whatever to go, oh, well, just Yelp that or whatever, because most people, they just know to Google it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's, I mean, and I think one of the reasons I'm also leaving is I don't like having all my eggs in the Google basket either. You know, like, it's so easy to get, like, when you sign up for a domain, when I use DreamHost, it's like, do you want us to self-host it or do you want Google Apps to do it? And I'm like, well, you're like, Google Apps, sure, I get everything there. And then all of a sudden
I love Google Apps.
Yeah, exactly. And then you're right in there, right? And that's going to be my hardest thing to do, right, is that mail and RSS are going to be the two toughest. Because I'm going to have to move mail, either to self-hosted or whatever, which is going to be a pain. But RSS, there's not many other options. You know, I mean, of course, the thing is, all these other options are paid options, and that's what you want. I mean, that's, Marco's talked about this, you know, pay for the service, pay for this, pay for that. Most people aren't used to paying for RSS. Not at all.
There isn't another service like Google Reader.
No, not at all.
There isn't. There is none. But the only other RSS service that I can think of is Fever.
Yes.
Which people have been talking about. But that's not nothing like Google Reader because I don't have a web server, so I can't run Fever.
No.
Yeah. I mean, it takes some special knowledge to be able to just even set that up. And some special equipment, right? I mean, you have to understand it. You know, that said, I think similar to... So the one big thing I've seen that all the geeks are switching to is DuckDuckGo, which, you know, if there is any service in desperate need of a rebrand, it's that one. but nothing against DuckDuckGo.
Seriously. I just call it DDG. I just call it DDG.
DDG. Yeah, there we go. Yeah. That's
minimal.
I like
right?
that. It's minimal, and it sounds. I mean, hey, they should just do that. Just DDG, right? But DuckDuckGo has positioned itself, and it's been around for a while. It's been around for a few years now. A lot of people don't know that, but it's, you know, this is not some fly by night anti-Google thing that just popped up. But they kind of started off with the mission of getting back to the roots that Google had, where they want to provide just the purest, most relevant search results for any query. Right? Am I correct about that?
Yeah, and I mean, the one thing I really like about it is the bang. Like, you could put the exclamation point or a bang in front of it. So if you want to look up, say I want to look up something on Twitter, I could put the exclamation point in front of it and put twitter.com or whatever. Or in some cases, often it's just the word Twitter or YouTube or whatever. And then the name of the person or whatever I'm looking for, and it will just search in there. So it's kind of like that whole site aspect with Google, where you type in site, colon, and you do a search that way. There's a lot of customization options, which is really neat. And I've incorporated it both into my Safari browser, as the default, search, which you have to do some work to get it done. But I talk about it in that post
again.
And then the other thing I've done is on my website as well. So if you search something on my website, you will be using DuckDuckGo as the search engine.
And how are you finding DuckDuckGo?
I like it. I like it. I mean, the biggest thing I guess I have a problem with is images, because Google's image library is so vast, because that's where a lot of stuff ended up. So images are the biggest problem for me. But I just did that plumber search that you mentioned. I did St. Paul Plumber Sunday and came up with totally different results off the top. Like St. Paul Plumbing Company was the first one that showed up, and I don't know the exact term she used, but I mean, it was Rootertown didn't even show up in the first page.
Yeah, there you go.
So there's that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, people know, I think maybe this community, they know about DuckDuckGo now, right? Mm-hmm. So I think people are getting more wise to that, but I want to put you to the test now, Vardy.
Sure.
I want to ask you what you're doing to replace some other services. So, have you decided what you're going to do for mail?
I'm probably going to go self-hosted. I've looked at Fastmail and stuff, but I mean, I already am paying for the domains and stuff, so I might as well just use self-hosted email. So that's the way I'm going to go.
Okay. Have you decided what you're going to do for RSS?
Not a clue.
Okay. Have you decided what you're going to do for watching video?
I actually use an app on my iPhone and iPad called Show You. I still can get all the YouTube videos that are on there that are shared through the app, as well as through Twitter or Facebook, because what ShowU does is like a social sharing video app for your iPad. It's really nice. I think this week they just came out with 3.0. So I just do everything through there. That also keeps me from, like, when I'm in Twitter or Facebook, videos, I don't watch them on those sites anymore. So I just, those just skim by. Which I guess, can you, with Patrick, with that new, you've been using Hibari, is that what it's called?
Yes, Hibari.
So can you remove video links? Can you, like, remove that from the equation or not? I'm not sure if you can isolate, like, video links out. Probably not, yeah. Right?
Yeah, I don't know that you can, although I'll link to it. I can't remember exactly where it is, but Hibari has, let me see, advanced, no. Hibari has like a really neat page with advanced options where you can advanced and hidden features. There we go. Including Instapaper support, increase the maximum amount of tweets you can see in timeline, disable mentions.
It'd be pretty hard to parse out video, though, because...
would be.
Yeah, but I use ShowU. And so, I mean, and as for YouTube, I've never really put a lot into YouTube. And if I'm going to upload video, I'll use Vimeo.
Okay. Docs.
I never really use Docs for my own personal stuff anyways. I tend to keep everything local or I sync through Dropbox or whatever. But there are, like, for Lifehack and for other people that I'm working with that want to share documents with me, I have to keep Docs active. So what I'm going to end up doing, especially with certain things like calendar, certain aspects of calendar and stuff, is I'm going to have to keep my themikevardy@gmail.com as an active email, but it's going to be the one I use to be sign up as a service email. So it'll be like my disposable one. But yeah, I can't get completely out of Docs. I've never really used it fully though. So.
And what about your Android phone?
that imaginary thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think never been an issue.
See, what you're proving to me though is what I've come to accept as an eventuality, is that you, as much as you might want to try, I don't think it's possible for us to get Google's oily tentacles away from us in every aspect now. I think that they're too big a part of the internet. But I feel that to get rid of them completely, you're going to be harming your experience online, I think.
I think you're right. I think it's going to be tough, especially because I'm not just now. If I was just dealing with people who knew technology, knew the internet very well, I'd probably be able to get out of Docs and Calendar and stuff like that because we could set up our own separate. But the ease of use, and as a productivity guy, I actually said in my introductory post, leaving Google is probably very counterproductive initially. Mm-hmm. It's going to be. I will not be able to do it in a collaborative sense. In other words, there will be some sites that I have to have access to it because I can't convince the other parties to not let me, you know, to leave Google. But for as far as my own intentions for my own personal stuff is concerned, I'm getting out as quickly, as much as I can. And there's some things you can't get out of. I can't delete certain photos. It won't let me. I can't quit Google Voice. There's actually, when you ask how you can delete your Google Voice account, which I've never used, when it moved over from Grand Central to Google Voice, there's actually, mm-hmm. Google has in the help says, currently there is no way to delete your Google Voice account.
Yeah.
And you can't quit YouTube either. I actually tried to quit YouTube and it gave me a warning box saying, warning, all of your information and comments and subscribers will be gone if you do this. And I put in the dialog box because it asks why. And if you go to my website, you'll see what my dialog box said. And then I deleted it. And then not so much. It actually signed me back in as my Google account because when I signed up for YouTube, it wasn't owned by Google at the time.
Yeah.
So that I'm assuming that the quit option was there from way back when and basically has been grandfathered out. So as soon as I deleted it, it's like, all right, you quit the old YouTube. Welcome to the new YouTube.
Yeah,
nothing was deleted. All of my subscriptions are there, all my comments, all my videos. I'm like, I can't believe this. Even with my fullest intent to delete my YouTube account, I can't. Unless I delete all of my Google.
Well, and unfortunately, you just stated you can't do that. So
I can't. I mean, it's a challenge that I'm still gonna see how far down the rabbit hole I can go. But I don't think I'll ever hit the bottom. You're right.
Wow.
One last quick question for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How does DuckDuckGo make money?
Oh, they have a post that mentions that. I'll see if I can. Someone said they're looking at monetization options.
Yeah.
Is what they said. Look at selling your data, right?
So in other words, someone told me this, and they said we're looking at monetization options. They have said that they never want to contribute with Google on a technical standpoint. They want to contribute. They want to compete with them on a business and cultural standpoint. I'm paraphrasing here, but as soon as they said that, I'm like, oh, so they're Twitter. You know, because I don't know. I mean, so they may have ads at some point, but it doesn't. I can't find it. I know it's in their mentions somewhere, but it doesn't say. I can't find it offhand as to how. But there is a whole thing under DuckDuckGo.com/privacy that talks about what they don't collect, and it says they do not collect or share personal information. That's what it says. Mm-hmm. So. For what that's worth. Then again, you know, I mean, I don't know if you read today about what happened with Path, but apparently some people are saying that Path, the iPhone app that I think we all use, right? Apparently they basically send our address book information.
I'm hoping by the time that this is released, there's been some. There should be some sort of response from them. But I think that's the underlying problem is, to be honest, you actually can't really trust anybody.
No, well, that's just it. I'm sure they're not the only ones, and there's countless others that are doing it. So, I mean,
Heard this. What's Path doing with the address book?
So apparently, this broke just before we came on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it may be old news to some people, but. Apparently they upload your address information to a server that's held there, so all of your contact information.
So it gets into it gets into your address book and uploads it as a plist file to their servers.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think that this is. I mean, there's things I care about and things that I don't.
Yeah.
And increasingly, I'm like...
I care more about what it's going to do to the company than I do about...
Yeah, and that's the thing, is because people will interpret it incorrectly or whatever. And again, like you said, this could all be resolved by now. But the thing is that, like what Mike said about trying to get completely out of Google will wreck your internet experience. I think if you try to go too far... you will wreck your internet experience. So it's just a matter of what you're willing to do and what not willing to do, right?
Well, I don't, and I would argue that I don't know how much it will wreck, quote unquote, wreck your internet experience. What I think is that there are some trade-offs that, number one, you'll have to understand and hold firm to. And number two, that others will have to understand, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the even bigger problem, right? The bigger problem that people have, I'm a good example, okay? Facebook. I would love, there's nothing I would love more than to delete my Facebook account,
mm-hmm.
right? Unfortunately, for most of the world, including certain members of my family, who I'm about to drive across the country and visit, that is the only way to get, that is the internet for them, for all intents and purposes, right? That if I were to send an email to my sister about, you know, trying to coordinate and organize our trip plans, and we're staying at my sister's house when we go down there, I might wait weeks for a response. Why? Because she never checks email. Why? Because she never gets email. Except from marketers or spammers or whatever. She communicates on Facebook. That's how all of her friends communicate with her. My sister's 20 years younger than me, by the way. So Facebook is essentially the internet for her, right? And so in order for me to communicate with my sister, I could say, nope, I'm just on email. I'm only doing email. But the trade-off is that, well, it's going to be making plans with my sister a lot harder.
Yeah, I mean, I do the same. But Facebook, I mean, whether it's just through getting to know more people, through the kind of stuff I talk about, or but mainly family. That's the big thing. Mm-hmm. And that's one reason why I'm sticking around. I don't share a lot on there. I'm very careful about what I share, but I'm not about to completely untether from it. And you're right. The more you untether from things, which I know it can be quite in vogue or popular. Hence why I'm doing this series, I'm sure. But it becomes you have to have a real reason behind it. You're right. Otherwise, it just comes off as, you know, you're being glib or whatever. You're just doing it for the stunt value or whatever. For me, my thought is not to have everything in one basket. And I think Google has a lot more in my basket. Like, I have a lot more in Google's basket than I do in Facebook's. That's for sure.
Right. Right. And I guess my point being is that you could find another RSS reader that doesn't synchronize with Google.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're out there. They exist.
Yep.
NetNewsWire being
one of them.
Yeah.
Isn't NewsFire, although Google's an option, you can use it without.
Yep. Now, there are options, but I like using Reader for iPad. That's how I read my RSS. And how do they get that information from Google? So.
Right, exactly. You know, but my point is that... there are trade-offs, and you've decided that's a trade-off you're not willing to make. Hmm. That you're trading security and privacy for convenience. And this goes back to my long-standing argument, which is there's no such thing as data security.
You're here.
If you really want to have your data safe and private and protected and all of this stuff, don't have data. Don't have it in the first place.
Yep.
Because that is the only way to absolutely ensure its safety and security. Because encryption can be broken. Because someone could break into your house and with the right skills, even if you erase your computer and zero it out, if with the right skills, they can still get at that data. I'm just saying, don't have the data in the first place. Now that we've established that that's the only way, then the next level is, how much privacy and security are you comfortable with letting go of in trade for convenience? And unfortunately, there are companies that prey on that on that option, right? Facebook feels that in order to give you the best possible experience, you should share with it as much data as possible, right?
Mm-hmm.
Google feels that in order to give you the best possible search results and the best possible experience, that you should share as much data as possible, right? Whether that be through Google Plus, whether that be through, you know, letting them filter your Gmail, you filter through all your email, letting them filter through all your contacts and the nine yards. And they do this not just to deliver more advertising to you and that's relevant and that is more likely for you to respond to and to click to through and to engage with, but also with a very, I think, you know, honest and helpful intent to provide you with a good experience. Because that's how they keep you coming back, right? If their goal was to provide you with a bad experience, it wouldn't matter how good their data collection was or their privacy or whatever, because you wouldn't come.
They'd be MySpace.
They'd be MySpace, right? Yeah. So I guess, you know, my point being is that with all of this stuff is a trade-off. And it just sounds to me like with all of these folks are like, oh, I'm ditching Google. I'm getting rid of DuckDuckGo. And I'm doing this. I'm getting rid of this. It's just like, oh, well, you know, what happens when DuckDuckGo turns on the advertising in order to provide you with the best search experience, decides to start collecting data and using that? Decides to start looking at your social networks, maybe decides to start one on their own in order to not just compete with the others, but also to improve their search results for you, to be more relevant to you, because the only way they can make search results relevant to you is to know about what is relevant to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this world is kind of getting upside down when Microsoft is turning into the good guy and Google is turning into the bad guy.
Well, and I wouldn't necessarily trust me. Microsoft would love nothing more than for folks to make that switch. To use this as an excuse for folks to make the switch to Bing, not just solely because they would make a lot of money off of their advertising on Bing and such like that, but also once again because then they would be able to collect a lot of data to provide you with a quote unquote better experience. I never believed in the Google quote unquote don't be evil thing to begin with, because at some point you've got to make money. If you're not charging people up front, there's only a few other ways to make it.
Well, and evil's subjective too, right?
Why is making money evil, right?
Yeah, it's subjective. What one person thinks is wrong, someone else may not think is so wrong. So, I mean, that's I'm sure you can paint that with any brush you want, really.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I think that, what I'm waiting for, and I think that this is the perfect time, this is the right time, just like Pinboard came along at a time when Delicious had lost their way and basically wanted to build a Delicious that was better and actually people paid for it. And they did. And I happily pay for it. And I pay as much money as I possibly can because I want it to stay that way. I think that this is a really good time for someone with the right skills to come along with a search service that looks and works surprisingly like early Google. Except there's going to be a one-time upfront charge of $10 a year, one-time upfront charge of $10, and that price will go up by a penny with each user or something like that, or basically use the Pinboard model to create a paid service. Because I think that it's something I would pay for.
Hear that, DuckDuckGo?
Mm-hmm.
It's true. Good point. Really good point.
So, in any case, I think we've beat this one to death, and we've got more to talk with you about, my friend.
Absolutely.
All right. Cool. So, well, this has been a great discussion. Thanks a lot for being on. Mike, for those that will listen to this podcast and never listen to it again, you better let those folks know where they can find you.
You can find all my stuff at MikeVardy.com, and I'm on the Twitter at MikeVardy.
Great.
There you go.
Cool.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right. We'll talk later.
Okay.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers.